This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
Welcome back and welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. Coming up around 5:20, Doug Seegers, formerly with the Nashville Banner, will be joining us. He's now a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. We'll be talking SEC with him. But open segment, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. Husker Richie in Nashville, welcome to the show.
Johnny, I'm not a big NBA guy, but I did want to ask Zach if he probably knows this. When is the three-point shooting contest?
That'll be coming up this weekend with the NBA weekend, right? The All-Star weekend.
But, I mean, exactly. Is that a Saturday after? Do we have any idea exactly the exact time of that? I'm not going to watch the whole thing. I just want to see how many Curry hits. I'm sure it's Saturday night. I just don't know when. I guess I could try to look that up.
In fact, we'll Google that and give you the complete rundown as far as the weekend is concerned. But, yeah, okay. It's supposed to be Sunday as far as the actual game. But as far as the other activities, we will look that. Here it is. I got it right now. All right, okay. So you've got the skills event. That begins at 5:30 Central Time. It's the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. And then the second event during that time frame. So somewhere between 5:30 and 7, you get the skills challenge. The second event is the three-point contest before the actual All-Star game itself. And then at halftime is when you get the slam dunk contest.
You know, I'm not a slam dunk guy, but just to see Curry, I mean, we're watching the best shooter of all time is what we're watching. And so I just like to see how he does in that. Johnny, just looking forward to March Madness here in a couple of weeks. If Gonzaga doesn't win it this year, when will they? You've got all these powerhouse teams that have no shot of winning the championship, like Kentucky, horrible, Duke and North Carolina, mediocre. You got Michigan State, Indiana, UCLA. None of those teams are going to win the championship. They're not even a threat. So if Gonzaga doesn't win it this year, and I think this is the best team he's ever had up there, when will he win it, Johnny?
You know, here's the thing. Maybe it makes sense for them to look at a different conference if that's the ultimate goal, other than just winning a lot of ball games. Because, you know, let's just face it. Look at the Big Ten. Look at how many solid teams are from the Big Ten. They're in the top 10 this year, for example. In the SEC, you get challenged. I mean, you don't really get challenged that much as far as the conference that Gonzaga's in. And so because of it, I mean, give me a team that's battle-tested throughout a regular season, and that's the team, especially if they've had a really good regular season with those kind of tests. I want somebody like that, when the game is on the line, mentally challenged, to know what to do in those final 3 or 4 minutes.
You know, I think you're right. Now, we've seen Gonzaga in the non-conference. We've seen them play Tennessee and North Carolina and Duke and, you know, several powers.
That helps. Obviously, that helps. But it's not enough, though. It's not enough when you look at their total canvas of work, per se.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to probably, you know, mop the floor in their tournament with somebody like St. Mary's or whoever they play, San Francisco, I don't know, what those teams. But I think you're right. I mean, as good a talent as they have, now they're not a threat anymore to lose in the first or second game like they were a few years ago. Their talent level has improved. But they've only made it to one national championship game the whole time he's been there, and they got beat by North Carolina. They had a shot to win that game.
I mean, I'll give you an example. A team like your SEC champion, you know, they've probably been challenged 7 or 8, you know, at least 2/3 of their ball games, they've been challenged with really good teams that if they weren't bringing their, you know, best or at least a decent version of themselves, they're going to get beat. And so you equate that to basketball, and the bottom line is they're just not playing enough of those kind of games. And, yeah, they've gone deep as far as the NCAA tournament. I get that. But as far as to win it all, if your ultimate goal is to have at least one championship, I don't know if you get it playing, you know, that kind of schedule regular season. It's almost like if you're going to be that, then your non-conference games, every one can't be a buy a W kind of game. Every game would have to be against the top 30 or 40 teams in the country.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Duke. They beat Duke a couple of years ago. And, you know, like I said, they played at North Carolina, and we've seen them play. I think they played Tennessee.
But they just don't get enough of those, though. That's the problem. They don't get enough of those challenges.
No, I mean, they'll probably end the year with, you know, 8 or 10 wins in a row by 15 or 20 points, that kind of thing.
I mean, so, look at the Big Ten, for example. You know, this week, and it'll be changing a little bit next week, a little moving around, but Michigan was number 2, Illinois 4, Iowa 8, Ohio State 10. So you have 4 teams right there from the Big Ten in the top 10 in the country. And that's the point I'm making, is the fact that, or even Purdue ranked in the top 25. The fact that you're getting that kind of competition week in and week out, that so prepares you, because you're not having to be the best team in March, right? You're just having to be the hottest team in March. The best team doesn't always win it. And we see, in fact, the hottest team usually doesn't win it. It's usually the hottest, not the best, but the hottest team is the one that usually wins these titles.
Which conference would they go to if they change? Pac-12?
Hey, I don't know how much competition you get there.
Who's going to want them in their conference when you have to go that far away? I mean, the Big 12, would the Big 12 want them? I don't know. You know.
And look, you're not just the problem is you're not just changing it, and that's the big thing, because people think, okay, you can just move around as far as conferences. You have to do it for all the other sports, and that's where the costs really come up. So you're talking about, you know, it's not like you're only putting out there one or two sports. I mean, you're putting out cross country, track, tennis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so because of that, you know, the especially for the sports that's not producing revenue, that's a lot of expenditures out there.
It is, but do you not agree with me, Johnny, that with these blue bloods down this year, I mean, I think there's just a handful of teams that could win it. We don't have the powers, and they're not going to get beat by Kentucky or North Carolina or Duke. It's not going to happen. They're going to get beat by a lesser program if they lose this year.
Well, I just go back. I threw out the 4 teams from the Big Ten, and so when you think of names, those are programs with names per se. West Virginia, they're a top 10 team themselves, and you're talking about the former Cincinnati coach and Coach Huggins. And so, you know, West Virginia, I would not want to see them in the tournament. And so there's plenty of teams out there that can beat you, especially in this year's tournament. You know, even one seeds aren't, you know, we've seen a one seed go down before. Do I expect it this year? No. But anything after that, 2 seed on, you know, you better be ready to play this year.
Well, definitely the Big Ten and the Big 12 are by far the best conferences in the country. The SEC down, the ACC down, Pac-12 down.
I mean, the Pac-12 does have, you know, they do have USC. USC is a really good program this year as far as basketball is concerned. Oregon, really solid as well. You just don't have enough of those. UCLA, you know, they're probably a top 35 team, maybe a top 30 team themselves. So there's 3 teams, but we're not talking about top 10 kind of competition.
No, that's it. Thanks, Johnny.
Hey, appreciate that. I mean, Zach, to that point, and I know you're getting ready to wrap your arms fully around March Madness, but, you know, we see it all the time. We talk about this, you know, like with Alabama football and the fact that if in practice, if you're on offense, you can't help but get better going up against that standout on the other side of the ball with the defense and vice versa. And then on Saturdays when you're playing, you know, it seems like always the SEC has twice the number of teams in the top 10, top 16 teams in the country compared to any other Power 5 conference. So when you're going up like that against those teams, you're only going to get better going up against that kind of competition. And that's why you look at the, we're talking about as far as, you know, we got 2014 when it was Ohio State beating Oregon for the national championship. But when you're talking about college football going all the way back to 2006 season, it has an SEC team in there. A lot of it has to do with the competition, getting those teams ready, the best team at the end of the year prepared for postseason play.
Yeah, and it, you know, SEC really does put an emphasis on their athletics. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. So it's not surprising that you look, you know, not only basketball now, not only football, not only baseball.
Men's and women's golf, tennis, yeah. I mean, the list goes on. Soccer, you name it. They want it all. They're greedy. They want it all.
And you know, yeah, maybe they don't stack up exactly academically, but they have Vanderbilt, which is the saving grace of the SEC.
Okay, before, have you taken a class at any of these things? These schools actually do promote their academic quality, all right? So it's stop
the state
with that.
Schools, though. I mean, come on. I went to UTC, which is still a branch of University of Tennessee.
Okay, stop.
So
just stop. They're not that. Stop.
They are 100% the same classes from UTC, UTK, UTM, and any of your community colleges around the state.
All right, just look at the CEOs of a lot of companies out there, and look at the ones that have come from Chattanooga.
Oh, there are tons. Are you kidding me? And also, by the way, it doesn't matter, because you know what the degree says? University of Tennessee. Doesn't say anything about Chattanooga.
And here's the part, too, and this is the thing where I learned this lesson going to twice during my time at Florida State, being the number one party school in the country, is the fact that it maybe my, you know, from an education standpoint, grade-wise, suffered from my, whether I'm, you know, looking at what I did in high school and looking what I did when I got my MBA, but as far as the undergrad, the distraction. But one of the things that did for me, however, and it's the same thing you find on these campuses at Alabama, Auburn, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, all of the, maybe Vanderbilt doesn't have it as much as the other 13, but the fact that it opens you up, it gives you the opportunity to socialize. And I don't care what you do in business, if you're interacting in the business world, in real life, if you're able to communicate, shake hands, be that person that people like to be around, that will take you far in life.
Yep, networking.
How's that speech?
That's what you want to do. Number one party school, by the way. So what year was that for FSU?
I stop. I'm not even going to give you that.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think. When did Florida have notoriously crazy drug cartels going through a cocaine
we
getting
did
introduced?
Not have that, all right? Yeah. I will say Scarface was probably out during that time frame, all right?
All right, so 84, 85.
Yeah, so two of those years were in that time frame between 82
cocaine.
And
cocaine. That was the main product out of Florida,
you know,
there for a while.
And I'm going to be, God strike me down right now, I'm going to say I never saw that in college. Never saw, have I seen in my lifetime around people who've had that come out of nowhere? Absolutely. I never saw that in college.
You got to get invited to the parties, Johnny.
Oh, you're
ha! You open the door, I'm going to walk through it.
One of the best fraternities in the nation I was a part of. Thank you very much.
Wow. Congratulations.
I'm talking nationally, too. I mean, Ronald Reagan was a teak. I was a teak. Not to put myself in that conversation.
There's a large leap there, Johnny. I think we all know that one.
Okay, how about this?
Marv Ronald Reagan, Levy. The actor.
Marv Levy was a teak. Thank you
Marv
very
Levy.
Much.
I'm having to think who that is. I'm forgetting who Marv Levy is.
He was the head coach, the
That's
Hall
right.
of Fame coach.
Yep.
Buffalo. Stop. You could tell now.
I was still going
you
to actors.
You could tell
I
you're like in diapers. So
I was trying to remember who the Marv yeah. Levy was. I was thinking
George Plaster has said this so well, and I've restated. If it happened before 2012, you might as well just forget about it.
Right, who cares? Why?
With you.
Why would because you
it,
care?
It did, it's almost like it didn't work. It didn't happen.
See, in a few years, then everything you know will be irrelevant, and everything I know will be very relevant. So.
See, I think if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat the mistakes of history.
Who said that? You remember?
I don't know. But
Teddy
it's been
Roosevelt.
It's been
that happened before 2012.
It's been... I think he took it from somebody else. To me, that's one of those things that we've probably...
It could have been Eisenhower. I'm not going to lie.
It could have been Adam. It could have been Adam. It could have been Eve. You know, we're not sure which way to go as far as that one's concerned. We do know on the other side of which way we're going to go. We are going to continue talking SEC. Doug Segrist joins us out of Birmingham. Looking forward to that. Before we go to break, quick reminder, I'd like to invite you to check out our friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. We're talking about bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, the Tusculum area, plus the two enhanced experiences, Hendersonville at Circus World, and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building and the Stones River Mall. And with the enhanced experiences, besides all the other things, we're talking about the virtual reality roller coaster, laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, and Laser Maze. If you need more information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. All locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Good afternoon. Still running slow here on 65 north and southbound here near OHB in Brentwood. Not sure what this is here southbound, but it looks like the whole police force is here on 65 southbound here at OHB, just past OHB here in the Brentwood area. Traffic's picked up even more so now. 65 up into Madison as you make your way up towards Vietnam Vets. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Princess Hot Chicken, online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Want professional tax prep at a great value? Jackson Hewitt has an offer you won't want to miss. For a limited time, we'll prepare your federal taxes for as little as $48 and no more than $179. That's right. Get federal taxes done for you by skilled Jackson Hewitt tax pros in Walmart for as little as $48 and no more than $179. This offer won't last. Offer expires March 15th. Stop by Jackson Hewitt in Walmart and get your coupon code and details. That's Jackson Hewitt, conveniently located in Walmart.
One of the things to love about betting on basketball is always finding new player props or game props. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. That's why people bet on FanDuel. Easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. Easy to place your bet fast during a game if you see a trend that you like. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and use promo code WNSR to sign up.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout this afternoon, sunny and temps in the mid-60s. Clear skies overnight tonight. Lows drop to the upper 30s. Thursday, a sunny day. Temperatures expected mid-60s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. 615-844-5600. Open segments coming up after our next guest. So that will take us from around 540 to the top of the hour. So get yourself online. But right now, a chance to talk some SEC and more. Doug Segrist joins us, formerly with the Nashville Banner and Birmingham News, now a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Doug, always a pleasure, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks, Belfar.
Hey, Doug, by the way, earlier this hour, Keller was talking about Gonzaga and, you know, and the fact that, you know, right now we look at what they've been able to do in the regular season. They're entering the week 24-0, number one team in the country, undefeated. And here's a program that, you know, I you know, technically they're a mid-major, but, you know, to me, they're just the best team out of this mid-major conference that's not really mid-major as long as Gonzaga is a part of it because of their run since that 1999-2000 season where, you know, they're making the NCAA tournament every year. The only time they didn't do it until this year, that was last year when the tournament was not held. But the problem is, you know, what are you trying to get accomplished? If you're trying to win a championship, I've said this, maybe they need to switch conferences. If their goal now is to win a national title in college basketball, being in the West Coast Conference, that's not, you know, helping you too much. I understand they play, you know, three or four good non-conference games a year, but you need to be more tested than that. I look at a Big Ten, you know, with four teams this week in the top ten, like Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, Ohio State. Even inside the SEC with Bama, Arkansas, et cetera, you know, you're going to at least be able to make a run to the Sweet 16. But the problem with Gonzaga, you know, I don't see you're getting yourself, you know, battle-tested in time for the tournament, and that's why – you know, Elite Eight is usually it. You know, they did have the runner-up season back in 2016 and 17, but still no national titles to show for it. And usually you get eliminated by the time you get to the Sweet 16 if you're talking about Gonzaga.
Yeah, I think this team's different. I think this team can win it all. The biggest problem they have is location. You know, they can't move to the American. They can't move to the Big East. They can't really elevate. You know, the Pac-12's not going to take them because they – don't play football. They're not in a big enough market, you know, so they really don't have any options. But this was the schedule, and some of these games got canceled. But their first four games were Kansas, Auburn, West Virginia, won them all by, on average, about 10 points. Then Tennessee game was postponed. They had Iowa, beat Iowa by 11, beat Virginia by 23. And so, yeah, the conference schedule isn't the most challenging, but they do play BYU. St. Mary's is usually pretty good. San Diego sometimes is good, not this year. Loyola Marymount's had, you know, had their moments. So even then, their mid-major league is one of the better mid-major leagues. But I think this year, I think they've already proven against top 15 NCAA tournament teams that they can play with anybody. So I would be shocked if they're not in the Final Four.
If they don't win it, then we go back to, if not this year, then when?
Yeah, I mean, it's this year or bust. I mean, this is their best shot. They're going to have the number one overall seed, so they're going to have the best route possible. They've got a veteran lineup. And, you know, and you've seen other mid-majors. You know, I would like to see what Dayton could have done last year with the big 7-footer and never had a chance. And now Dayton's good, but they've certainly dropped off. And that's the thing about Gonzaga. You know, they are consistently good, and at some point they're going to pull it off.
I mean, this year, out of their conference of 10 teams, there's only two teams that you would consider above average kind of teams, and that's Gonzaga and BYU. That's it from their league this year. You know, you brought up like St. Mary's. They're 4-6 in conference play. You know, Everybody else, Loyola Marymount, they're two games above 500. That's good for third spot as far as inside the conference. And that's what I'm getting at, that when you start having to, you know, are you getting better? Maybe you get better as far as practice, because I don't know how much better you get with this kind of competition. 15 of their 24 games were against this kind of competition, and you know, you get to the point where you, and some teams play down to the competition, or you don't get better when you go through that, and that's the only point I'm making. If they don't do it this year, I don't know if they ever will.
Agree. I think one advantage they have, though, is that they're freshmen. You know, they've played all the games. They had that streak of three that were canceled early on. Since then, every game's been played. But they're not being challenged. So in my mind, they're going to come off with some fresher legs. And the reason that makes a difference is we know the Big Ten, top to bottom, is the best league in college basketball this year. And really, for the last 5 years, it's been one of the top two leagues. But when was the last time a Big Ten team won the national title? They just wear themselves out. And while we've got four teams in the top seven, all of which could win, I really love this Michigan team, what are they going to have left in the tank? I think that's been a real problem for them in past years.
Well, I go back to when you get these upsets in the opening games, you know, 15 over 2, 14 over 3, whatever the case may be. If you win a game like that, then your next game is, you know, you have a really good chance of advancing to the Sweet 16 because of that. Then at that point, then it gets really dicey because most likely you're going to be tipping off against a number one seed or something along those lines. But because of the fact that if you're in that 15 or 16 spot or 14, that usually means you're playing in a conference that's not well respected as far as from the committee standpoint. A lot of it has to do with the fact that you really haven't been challenged a lot in the regular season.
Yeah, and this year we had inter-conference games or intersectional games, but we didn't really. A lot of the better games got canceled. For example, Baylor and Gonzaga were supposed to play each other 1 point, and that got postponed. Well, it got canceled, and so we're not seeing just as many good games across the country. So it's really kind of hard to gauge conferences this year. But if I had to take my money on the top three seeds against the field, I would probably go with the top three seeds because I think they have differentiated themselves, and I'm including Michigan in that list.
Right now, it looks like there's going to be six teams from the SEC getting their ticket punched as far as the big dance. The team that I would not want to see right now would be Arkansas, a team that's won 10. I mean, think about this. This team started out 2-4 inside the conference, 10 straight wins for them. They're going to finish second behind Alabama as far as the regular season title is concerned. But with the latest bracketology from Joe Lunardi, Bama looks like the number two team. If Illinois had lost last night, Alabama still had the hopes of maybe making it to that number one seed line. But I don't think that's going to be the case now. So to me, whoever, if it's Alabama winning the SEC tournament next week, then Bama will be the number two seed. If it's Arkansas in that situation, that you could see a flip-flop there where Arkansas is a two seed, Alabama a three seed.
I think Alabama's pretty much locked in at the two, and unless, let's say, they lost to Georgia and then their first game in the SEC tournament, then maybe that happens. I think Arkansas certainly is playing for a higher seed because they're just red hot right now. And you're right, they are the hottest team in the conference, and I haven't seen any evidence of them slowing down. I mean, they seem to get better with each game. I thought maybe they run into a bump against South Carolina because they come off those two emotional games with Alabama and LSU and just obliterated them last night. So this is a team on a roll, and I think they could use – here's the problem. I think getting to the SEC tournament final is the key, not necessarily winning, because I think the seeds are pretty much done by the time the championship game tips off. So that's the key for them is getting to the tournament final. I think that could move them up a line or two.
If you're a Tennessee team, right now, you know, they drop one spot there on the number six line. So you're talking about a team that could be a five, could be a six, depending on what they do, you know, starting on Sunday against, you know, hosting the Florida Gators before they get into the SEC tournament next week. But, you know, to me, if you're on that six line, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad spot to be. If you're a five seed, that means, you know, you have probably a 1-4 chance, if not 2 out of 4 chance of losing. Because, you know, the five seeds, you always get at least one, if not a couple, getting upset by one of those 12 seeds. Usually that going to a mid-major team that not getting a lot of respect as far as conference-wise, and they can shock the world, per se. But I don't know if that necessarily hurts Tennessee if they actually do drop to a six seed, for example.
I think that is a very high seed for them and probably really hard. Probably higher than they really deserve at this point because they're not playing good basketball, and they haven't played good basketball in over a month, but their metrics are so good, and what they did in the non-conference season is paying off again. He schedules so well. I think six seed would just be gravy for them, and you've got to hope that a new season they somehow find the magic they had early on, and that really it's not offense, it goes back to defense and just pounding the boards and really suffocating other teams. And I think once they get out of play, we might see somewhat out of SEC play, we might see some of that rebirth, because they are, you know, they really kind of fit for a run in the tournament. As bad as they've looked lately, they've got experience, they've got size, they can defend inside and on the perimeter. But SEC teams seem to have them figured out.
Hey, thank goodness that Arkansas won on the road last night, because up until then, only three teams inside the SEC had records above 500 away from their home courts. And Arkansas, with that win, they're now 5-4 away from Arkansas, but they join now Alabama, the Florida Gators, and Missouri. But speaking of Missouri, it's another team fading fast. I mean, now they're dropped, according to Joe Lunardi, with the latest today, to the 8-seed line. That's a team that's been limping in as far as the regular season down the stretch.
And a hard team to figure out. I mean, they've got as many top 10 wins as anybody in the country. But again, since beating Alabama, they have struggled just to show up. And this is a team with too much talent. They got inside, outside mix. Again, they've got experience, and maybe a reboot will help them, because, you know, they did this by scheduling the right way and playing some tough games early on. But right now they're kind of struggling to get to the finish line.
You know, depending how Florida plays against Tennessee on Sunday, if they win, you know, I'd probably include them with Alabama and Arkansas, the teams that I think that can make the best run as far as March Madness is concerned. But really intrigued to see what happens to the Gators in this matchup with Tennessee on Sunday.
Well, and here's the deal about Florida. I mean, they played just about the whole season without their best player, and I think it took them a while to come to grips with that. But they're still uneven, and that's my frustration there. But again, I think the league, I've heard some people say the league's down this year. I disagree. I think the league is good across the board. And I think right now it's just a matter of attrition. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just get away from, you know, these teams you see two, three times a year and get a fresh start. Listen, it's good. But it's nowhere close to where the Big Ten is, where they're just, you know, you've got all those top 10 teams beating each other physically. So I think you could see a couple SEC teams go on a run. I would probably have Florida. I might have them third, yeah, but behind Arkansas and Alabama as far as depth goes. And again, I keep giving up on Tennessee, but I think this Tennessee team has the experience to make waves if they get the right draw.
And the part that I understand about that comment, and I've heard that too, and it's like you're just not paying attention to the SEC. I mean, remember back during the Big 12 Challenge, the SEC took that against the Big 12. But like if you look at just, you know, the NCAA net, which is like the old RPI, you have Alabama in the top 10, Arkansas at 19. You have five total teams inside the top 31 in the country. You have four inside the top 26. You have eight inside the top 65. There's 340-plus teams playing Division I basketball. How do you, when you have over half the league inside the top 65 in the country, how can the league be down?
I don't get that. I just think people don't watch enough basketball elsewhere. Listen, SEC games can get ugly at times. Sometimes I think they have over-officiate, but it's very physical. Sometimes you have turnover fest, but a lot of that has to do with the defensive pressure. And for all the talk about what Alabama and Arkansas are doing on the offensive end, their real strengths are on the defensive end. And you know, when you're facing these teams week after week, sometimes the play looks a little shoddy. And, you know, we talk about the home court advantage. You've got less fans, but I think it's actually affected the officiating more. It just seems to me like home teams are getting more calls than ever. I think part of it's because you got a small crowd and you can hear everything. So when the crowd gets mad at an official, sometimes you want to kind of even things out for the home team, and I think that's been more play this year. And that's, I'm sure officials will tell me I'm totally wrong on that, but that's from a layman's eye, that's how it's looked.
I mean, I'm projecting right now, I expect three SEC teams in the Sweet 16, which means that makes up right just under 20% of all the teams remaining, right? And so Bama, Arkansas, two of those teams. And as far as the other mix, you know, take your pick, whether it's Florida, who knows? It could
I'm going to pick LSU.
You're going to go LSU? Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Just because I think they have the ability, they've got the guard play, and they've got the ability to light it up offensively. You know, if they get hot on a run, they don't play a lick of defense, and that's a concern. But they're athletic enough that, you know, if they get the right – it's all about matchups, though. And it's really hard to predict anything until we see how it plays – not how it plays out, but how it's laid out. Because, you know, if Alabama's the number two seed, but they're in the same bracket as Gonzaga – you know, maybe Elite Eight is their absolute ceiling. But if it's Illinois or Iowa, I like the chances getting the Final Four a lot better. But it's all about matchups at this point.
As far as before we let you go with spring football just around the corner inside the SEC, which team are you focused on that you feel like that spring practice will benefit them more than any other team inside the conference?
Texas A&M to me, got to replace Kellen Mott, but they've got a lot of talent coming back, and they were so close to being really, really great this year. Very, very good, but not quite at that top level, and I think they are pointed in that direction. You know, the problem is they're still going to have to go through Alabama and LSU and Auburn, but I'm not sold that LSU is going to be back next year. I think Auburn takes a step back, so the door's kind of wide open for A&M to really challenge Alabama even more than they did this year.
Always a pleasure, buddy. If you're not doing so already, make sure you follow Doug on Twitter at DSegrist. Once again, we appreciate you coming on. Continue to stay safe. All my best to you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ballpark. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Doug Segrist, once again, formerly with the Nashville Banner and the Birmingham News, now a co-host in the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Open phones to the top of the hour if you'd like to be a part of the conversation. College basketball, you can even talk a little Grizzlies and NBA, college football, whatever's on your mind, maybe the free agency market as far as NFL is concerned, 615-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Still limping along here on 65 southbound, trying to get down into Brentwood, passing OHB. There's about what looks to be about 30 cop cars here. And I'm just kidding. It's really only about 15 here on 65 southbound here and just past OHB. Not sure what kind of call this is. They've got an 18-wheeler up against the wall. It's just got traffic a mess here in Brentwood, Williamson County on 65 north and southbound here near OHB. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium and the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks coming up March 28. Check it out. Ripley's Aquarium and the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on time traffic.
What can give you a competitive edge in today's red hot housing market? Rocket can. That's because Rocket Mortgage can give you a verified approval. It could help your offer stand out. Because when you find the perfect home, you don't want to lose it to anybody else. Rocket Technology provides a rock-solid verification of your income, assets, and credit, giving sellers and their agents greater confidence in you. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this, what can help you buy the home you really want? Rocket can. Go to rocketmortgage.com or call us today at 8338-ROCKET. That's rocketmortgage.com or call 8338-ROCKET.
A verified approval is based on an underwriter's analysis of your individual financial information appraisal and title report. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. They're experts expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less.
800-917-2324. 800-917-2324. 800-917-2324. That's 800-917-2324.
Absolute Contracting Plus LLC is our premier full-service exterior expert. They're reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. This message is from Absolute Contracting Plus LLC, backed by over 20 years of experience and an A-plus rating on the BBB. For residential or commercial roofing, siding, or gutters, call today at 615-788-5031 or online at absolutecontractingplus.com. Absolute Contracting Plus LLC, proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators.
Catch one of Music City's longest-running radio shows devoted solely to the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Every game day morning at 5, Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier and the Renegades of Puck, Nashville Sports Radio, and Redneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you along with Zach Williams. 615-844-5600 if you would like to be a part of the show. 844-5600. We haven't talked about this, last night. Yeah, it's one of these things where I really felt good about the Grizzlies, as we talked about, one of these toss-up kind of games on the road. They just seem to play well in those kind of games. The same thing when we talk about the Preds this year. If they're going for three straight, you can almost count on the fact that they won't achieve that goal. And last night was certainly the case with their 4-2 loss to Carolina. We go back to still trying to figure out what this team is.
Yeah, I mean, we know kind of what they are, right? We know they're young. We know they have a lot of future, and they have a lot of talent. And on nights like last night against a team that is fraught with, you know, you got Russell Westbrook, past MVP. You have Bradley Beal, who people would say probably is one of the most underrated players in the NBA, just period. That Wizards team is a good team. And they have a lot of experience compared to a young team like the Grizz. But,
and it was a good win for them, for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And then you see the Predators, and, you know, it's just when you try to keep on getting hope out of them, you know, they... But once again, they lose. Now, here's the thing. They've been climbing. I don't know if you've seen this in the power ratings as far as the ESPN is concerned. If you're hoping for a breakup or whatever of the team, I mean, they've been climbing. Remember, last time they did this, they were 28th out of 31 teams. And at least now they're climbing to, I mean, they're still not at the midway point of the NHL as far as, but they're ranked now 22nd. But where does that get you? Especially when you got... you know, such highly paid veterans like Ekholm, Ellis, Forsberg, Johansson. I mean, you just wonder what this team is. Do you wait, by the way, I was thinking about this as far as trades. Do you wait to see, you know, what the franchise, the new franchise, what players they're interested in as far as you make, as far as total moves? I mean, are you hopeful maybe... I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you feel like you can get more out of some of these players? What's their value? What's their worth to other teams right now if you're trying to trade some of these guys?
Well, if you're looking at their trades, you look, UC Saros gets injured last night. You start having that problem, right? That could become a real bugaboo with some of these guys that you're looking to trade.
That's definitely a huge thing.
Like, yeah, that. You know, they get injured, and whether it could be a guy you're looking to trade or it could be somebody that you're planning for the future – that you were going to trade someone else and the guy in the future gets injured as well. So you start saying, well, you can't really get rid of a Ryan Ellis, or you can't really get rid of Ekholm or anyone like that, because you don't know if if you'll actually need him just to finish this out of the season or what. So there's a lot of ands and ifs. So the longer they wait, you start really questioning why not make moves now? And there's plenty of rumors. Like I mentioned Ekholm. Ekholm is being rumored right now. Maple Leafs are trying to make, because a lot of people want Ekholm because of his contract structure is. A lot of people would argue they think the Preds don't use him correctly. So the teams may, you know, other teams may say, well, we could use this guy better than that guy and the way they use him. So I don't know what's the point of waiting. At some point, they just need to say, all right, it's a rebuild and lean into it. Like, why not lean into the rebuild? I'm talking like even PR and everything. Why not lean into it to get the fans involved in the idea to rebuild so that way they have a little bit of fun with it?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The expansion draft for Seattle will be in July. So July later this year. And so, you know, you're looking at that. And the way it will work, it'll be the same rules that Vegas got to enjoy. Certainly not what the Nashville Predators enjoyed back in 98-99. But Seattle will select one player from each team, excluding, by the way, the Golden Knights. So that's how they get their 30. And we see, you wonder exactly what that means as far as the Predators roster, as far as the 21-22 season. But before then, I mean, if you're from the front office perspective, you're looking at this Preds team and trying to figure out, okay, how can we make ourselves better? At what point do you say it's just not going to happen this year? I mean, are you still holding out hope? The fact that you won, you had a stretch where you won 4 out of 5 going into last night. Are you holding out hope that you can be that team in the second half of the season?
Yeah, for better in-depth of this, too, real quick, just to put this plug out there, check out Crazy Charlie and the Renegades of Puck every pregame, every game day at Preds. You find them at 5 a.m. here on the station, and you're going to get a much better breakdown of this than you're going to get here probably. But it's just, I think you can't wait. I mean, like I said, you start looking at it and say, okay, if we're going to wait till closer to the deadline to try to build up, and a lot of these teams, I got to imagine, do the same thing, just like the NFL, just like the MLB, just like the NBA, where they're wanting to see, okay, I want to see the Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff trade to see where the market value is right now. So I can then start comparing my trades and saying, and build off of that. But I think the Preds are in a boat where, how much longer are you going to wait? You have starters getting injured. It's just,
this is where I think the fans have really hurt this team. And what I mean by that is being too nice. You know, being too nice, accepting this, the lack of accountability, the lack of living up to the expectations. And they weren't unrealistic expectations either. And I think the whole niceness part has really hurt this team growing and being what they should be right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's definitely a part of it. They do have a loyal fan base. They do have a fan base that cares about them. And they also, you know, people are still caught in the honeymoon phase with them because they just recently started winning. And if we're talking about the modern era of where they are right now as a team. But I don't know. That's going to run out at some point. And that's why I'm saying, why not take that energy? You can take that energy and from a marketing campaign and your public relations and all this different stuff and lean into the idea of a rebuild and have fun with it and make the fans get behind it as well. Like we all say a rebuild's so bad. There's such a negative connotation. You can make it a good one if you worked it the right way. Teams just have to be okay with going into those deep waters.
By the way, before we go to break, just a quick reminder, designated drivers are the real MVP. So if any time this week you'll be hanging out watching basketball, hockey, whatever the case may be with your friends and family, and you've had a drink or two, it's really simple. Don't get behind the wheel. If you've been drinking, pass your keys to a sober friend. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Good afternoon. Still limping along here on 65 southbound, trying to get down into Brentwood, passing OHB. There's about what looks to be about 30 cop cars here. And I'm just kidding. It's really only about 15 here on 65 southbound here and just past OHB. Not sure what kind of call this is. They've got an 18-wheeler up against the wall. It's just got traffic a mess here in Brentwood, Williamson County on 65 north and southbound here near OHB. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium and the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks coming up March 28. Check it out. Ripley's Aquarium and the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout this afternoon, sunny and temps in the mid-60s. Clear skies overnight tonight. Lows drop to the upper 30s. Thursday, a sunny day. Temperatures expected mid-60s. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. Big thanks to our visitors to the show today, Robbie Weinstein. He covers Vanderbilt for Vandy247.com. Also, Doug Segrist, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now in Birmingham with the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340, as well as a Montgomery Advertiser contributor. College basketball night. I was looking forward to seeing this matchup. Virginia Tech is a team that, you know, and we'll get to know some of these teams a lot better once we get to the NCAA tournament, Zach. But like a Virginia Tech team, one of the top 25 teams in the country, their contest with Louisville got canceled tonight. I was looking to see how that game was going to play out. And, you know, basically just like we saw the first two nights as far as this week, you know, this is that time of year where you want teams to start representing and being who they are or who we think they're going to be. And, you know, you're seeing a lot of, especially with bubble teams, you're seeing like a Boise State, for example, getting upset by Fresno State. You see other teams not taking care of business, so something to watch out for. The OVC tournament getting underway tonight, including number one seeded Belmont. They're taking on SIU Edwardsville, and that's just one of the games on tap tonight. Morehead State at SEMO, or excuse me, Morehead State versus SEMO. That's another one to be paying attention to. So throwing that out there. But you know, once again, we get these matchups. And that certainly could pay huge dividends for teams that are just trying to get that extra juice to and let the light switch flip on. Because a lot of times, if you're not doing it now or going into your conference tournaments, even those that have bids you know, secure. If you're not playing your best brand of basketball at this point, then usually you don't get it going as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is when teams got to start watching for the teams that are hot. That's why I like Arkansas, right? Is because they're getting hot moving into the tournament. You know, who cares what you did before?
But they've been so hot. I mean, I go back to winning 10 conference games in a row. You just wonder, did they peak too soon? And that's one thing to watch out for them. Although I like them a lot. I'm like you. I like Bama. I like Arkansas a lot as far as
Like Bama? Least, no way.
I do. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. But, I mean, look, this is their first regular season title in almost 20 years. So they have a lot to celebrate in the job that they've accomplished this year. Hey, they got a two-game cushion, by the way, inside the regular season this year in the SEC. A couple of games, by the way, tonight as far as SEC action. Florida hosting Missouri. Texas A&M. There's a Texas A&M men's basketball sighting tonight as they host Mississippi State. We'll talk more about this and more. Don't forget, start your Thursday morning off with the Bill King Show from 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the John Burton Show 9 to 11. George Plaster comes your way tomorrow, too, right before us from 2 to 4. For Zach Williams, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have a great Wednesday night, everybody, and make it count.
WPDQ, Franksboro. On air and online, sports radio.